You can be seated. I want to draw your attention this evening to sin and to God and to our own hearts. We come every week to reflect on the death of Jesus Christ in the place of sinners who believe. And there is a fear among all of us, I think, that these things would become old, commonplace, perhaps uninteresting, that the very reality which ought to be the center of our life and our singular boast would become something that we get used to. But there is a reality which keeps the gospel fresh and dear in my own heart, my own life, and that thing is my sin. I sinned this week. If I were to guess, I would say that you sinned this week. And so we desperately need to come back here again to the staggering reality that God is able to maintain his reputation as holy and good and just, and at the same time make a way for us sinners who have no business being in the presence of the Holy One and the Just One to belong to him. And I come here to remind my own heart this evening and let you listen in to the staggering reality found in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Paul writes about the thing God did to make me okay with him. God made Jesus, verse 21, who knew no sin, to become sin on my behalf, that I might become the righteousness of God in him. I am not righteous. God demands that those who dwell in his presence forever be righteous. And if I am to live up to God's demands, I must have a righteousness that comes not from me, but a righteousness that comes from him. God will only accept that which he demands and that which he provides. And he provides for me in the death of his own son. It says here that God made Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin. This does not mean that he made Jesus to be a sinner. It does mean that he made Jesus to be the sin bearer, so that every sin I would ever commit would be placed on Jesus' account. This is a calculated reckoning term, a banking term. All of my liabilities are placed into Jesus Christ's account, and all of his assets are placed into mine. When God poured out his wrath on his only son at the cross 2,000 years ago, it was my sin that Jesus bore, and it was the sin of everyone who would ever believe that Jesus bore. And it was that sin for which Jesus suffered punishment by the Father. And the only way I get God's righteousness is if his own son stands as a substitute, a sacrifice in my place. We celebrate that tonight because we need to. We need to tether our hearts to this reality, because apart from this reality, you and I have no hope. And so we come not as condemned sinners, those of us who know Christ already, but as those who are forgiven, who recognize that this place is the only place where we have hope and a right standing before God. But in verse 20, the word just before this word, Paul says, "We beg you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God." And then he goes on to say, the only way we can be reconciled is if Jesus becomes my sin so that I become his righteousness. If you are here tonight and you do not know forgiveness of sin, you do not have a relationship to God through Jesus Christ, you desperately need this. You desperately need a righteousness that God demands and that only God can supply. And it is found only in the cross of Jesus Christ. And I would beg with Paul of you, be reconciled to God. You can be reconciled this day through Jesus Christ. And I would notice something else in verse 20. this forgiveness of sin, this transfer of my sin to Jesus at the cross, and the transfer of Jesus' righteousness to my account, has an end. It has a goal. It has a so that. And that so that is that I would be reconciled to God. God does not simply forgive my sins. He forgives my sins so that I get Him, so that I get to be with Him, so that I get reconciled with Him. I was at enmity with Him. I was born an enemy of God, and God was angry with me over my sin. But He forgave my sin so that there would no longer be enmity, there would no longer be war, and so that I could belong to Him, be in His family, be adopted, be reconciled, and spend eternity with Him. Friends, eternity with God in His presence, enjoying all the benefits of what it means for the finite to be blown away by the presence of the infinite beauty of God, is what we were made for, and it is what we are redeemed for. And so we come again tonight to celebrate the death of Jesus, not because we have a morbid interest in our sin, but because we have a glorious interest in the Lord Jesus Christ. Tonight, as you look at your own heart, I would encourage you, take sin seriously. See it for what it is. See it through the lens of God's view of sin. If we don't take sin deeply and seriously, we'll never understand the cross. But don't let sin be the big deal. Let Jesus be the big deal. He came to set us free from sin. He came to pay for our sin and to satisfy God's wrath against our sin, to remove sin's power and its penalty, and one day its very presence. So come tonight to celebrate the Lord Jesus Christ and what He has accomplished. Cling to the cross. The men are going to come forward, and you're going to receive a little piece of bread and some juice. Those are symbols designed to remind us every week that Jesus had to bleed and die, that His body had to be crushed so that we could be reconciled. So take those things, remembering for what they were done.